Dan, can you believe we got us a full house here for another edition of Draped in Gold, your one-stop shop across the ring, across the pond of NXT, NXT UK content. Of course, my name is Lovable Boys. Thanks so much for rocking with me on that Facebook, that YouTube, that Twitter, Twitch, and LinkedIn. Grand ourselves a grand old time. In your house is in the rearview mirror. And of course, NXT UK is heating up. But as always, I'm not alone. I'm being joined by the award-winning host, Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, and the Mech Mania Podcast. Give it up for Real Jack Farmer.
Hey, thanks for having me. And before you introduce, I got to know, is our special guest host, this is the most important part of the show. Were you dancing in your chair during that little opening jingle as it was playing?
I absolutely was. I assumed we all were.
Yeah.
And then we cut to Flobo's open and I didn't hear any music. And I assumed maybe the music was just out to everyone else. So I just kind of kept with the music that I'm now realizing was not happening in the intro.
Very ESPN is still playing the music bed.
Just me.
But speaking about winning awards, my guest, our special guest this week, won awards so much he's verified on that Twitter sphere. Don't forget those silver play buttons. Get up, Steve Coffin. How's it going, man?
It's going pretty well. Had a weird week working through it, and I'm excited to have seen a bunch of wrestling, talk a bunch of wrestling with y'all.
Awesome talking about. You guys can get interacting on that chat as well. Your questions are always greatly appreciated. I want to give a shout out to those people. Of all places, Denmark. We have all the Denmark wrestling charts for the first time ever. So what's up? I don't know how to say anything.
Denmark. This one's for you, Denmark.
This one's for you, Denmark. Yeah. All right, NXT UK, let's start from the bottom top. Had us have the main event of epic proportions because I didn't know which way it was going to go. Diamond Mines Ivy Niles, which what I can tell is undefeated in singles competition against Mako Satomura, one day shy of her one-year title reign. Had ourselves a bit of a classic, a banger, if you will. Ivy Niles showing every bit. She's a star and a half. You know, Steve, you're our guest this week. Start us off here. Thoughts about the main event and thoughts about Diamond Mines Ivy Niles.
The main event was incredible. I wish there were about 10 more minutes of it. Fair. That was my first thought. That I understand, like, you can't control how these contests go, but I really wished we had a good about 5-10 more minutes of these two just putting on a clinic with each other. Heading into this, I thought it would be close, but Mako Satomura would win and win handedly. And I think we can all agree that's not how this happened.
Wait, which how can makes, it be close and handed to win? Like, what do you mean? Like,
no, it can be that it's 50-50 up until the end, and then they just get beat at the end. That's not what happened here. Mako Satomura held on to the held, like, stole one, if you will.
Ooh, spicy
not
take.
But like, not took one, I guess. Stole one would imply.
Still stealing. I take Costco samples all the time. I get one, and I'm taking like six of them.
Well, you're legally taking those. Okay.
You see the whole tray?
There's nothing stealing about those.
You pay for a Costco membership. I don't
a little
understand.
Unethical because you don't plan on buying any, but it's still legal.
Legal and ethical.
I mean, that's a thought crime to say that he's not planning on buying. Who are you, sir? Right. I was a lawyer in another. I was a really good lawyer in another life. But I do think that to Ivy Nile, this makes Ivy Nile an absolute superstar in the NXT, the broader NXT universe. If she comes stateside, I would argue she is in line next to Roxanne for the number one contender for the women's title.
Wow.
And if we're doing like Dana, I would call these Dana White rules, where Dana White, there are rankings, but then Dana White kind of decides who gets match made. If we're following those kind of rules in NXT, which we're not, we're following, I think, playground rules, sign-in sheet. Last time I was here, we talked about the sign-in sheet. There's right. just a sign-in sheet backstage, first person to get to it. That said, we're going on more or less merit. Yes, she lost to Mako, but she looked stronger than the majority of women in either NXT in how she lost to Mako.
Ooh.
I think that's where we're at with Ivy Nile.
Yeah, I think that I echo a lot of what Steve is saying here. I think Mako Satomura is a living legend. She's a made person. She could have done anything here today, and we would have said, yeah, she's one of the greats. Ivy Nile, though, I think in this match, by keeping it as close as she did and by putting up as much of a fight, and for, you know, to, I know what Steve's saying, he'd like to see some more, but I think even for as long as this was, she showed that she can hang in there. This was the first time I think I've ever seen her pinned. And as I was watching this, I said this last week, but I believe this fully. I think Ivy Nile is going to be the first ever female equivalent of a Brock Lesnar. I think she's going to come in, she's going to start just manhandling people, and she's going to just bully her way up to the top of the card wherever she's at. I think Ivy Nile is someone to watch, and I think very quickly she will be dominant in whatever division she decides to park her car in.
You know, a lot of people have been saying about Ivy Nile's look. You know, it's just all muscles upon muscles. Jack and I had the pleasure of being in the same room as Ivy Nile. It's legit. There's no camera angles. It's all training. But this is the first time I really saw, like, exchanges and leverage pins and joint manipulation. We talked about Brock Lesnar, but Brock Lesnar, unfortunately, does not get think is considered, even though he is classically trained, as a wrestler, as, like, being as technical as he is. Is Ivy Nile have a powerhouse tag already to her? Can be seen as a technical wrestler as well, Jack?
I think as you look at her moveset and how she handles herself, absolutely. I mean, look at that finisher she has. The way she's able to take what a dragon sleeper, something that's been around for decades, and tweak it into a way to make it even more powerful, but then add the wrapping her legs around it, and that's just the finisher. I think she has everything you want. I think she can be a wrestler. Now, I think when you are as physically dominating as she is, she's always going to have the she's a muscle person, and that's never going to leave. But you know what? There's worse things in life than to be considered someone who's shredded.
I can't think of any. Yeah. Wow.
I deal with that all the time.
Okay. Why do I feel left out? I don't know what's going on. Whatever. Cookies are on sale.
You got to wear a DJ Jack Farmer t-shirt more often.
All right. Exactly. We're going to get one of these, Jack.
You can get one of those at jackcfarmer.com. Just click the shop tab.
Oh, snap. I love it. Moving on elsewhere, we had a little bit of camaraderie. Speaking of Diamond Mine, Dame Kemp is hanging out with Wolfgang. This is the newest tag team under the sun. All you got to do is get a couple of brewskis in you, and you're good to go. Steve Carpenter, we talked about on a couple weeks ago on the show about the influx of NXT 2.0 talent in NXT UK. But Damon Kemp was looking every bit a part of being with an NXT UK roster. True or false?
Very true. I also just want to point out, I've always felt that Wolfgang could go cardio-wise, but now I have a newfound respect for him, for how much beer he drinks in a daily basis, how much cardio Wolfgang must do to keep up with that beer.
I'm not impressed. I do it all the time.
You're not? That's your regular time, diet.
Yeah. How many minutes on the treadmill does each of those beers add? I should say hours, not minutes. I mean, yeah, as soon as he's done drinking, he's got to hit the gym and start jumping rope to make sure he doesn't just blow up.
Oh, God.
That is the Scottish way. You can't golf your way out of that.
God, tell me I have to do this. Sorry, that was totally wrong.
You could probably wait an hour after you drink.
It's too late.
I would hope you wait at least an hour after drinking that many beers to go to the gym.
But Steve, what's your take on it, though? A lot of these NXT 2.0 talent come to the UK. Are you a fan of the exchange? Does it seem weird having clashes of styles?
It doesn't seem weird to have a clash of styles, especially if you're melding the styles. Because what we're seeing here is, like, this is the Scottish way. This is how we do it in the UK. And you're actually learning something in a new paint of coat, as Bruce Pritchard would say. And also, no offense to NXT Level Up, but how many people watch NXT Level Up versus how many people watch NXT UK?
There's a Venn diagram.
That's actually a very interesting question.
Because if I know, like, you have to fly your own way and do a lot of stuff to get over to another country. I let my driver's license expire in the last week. So
wow.
I understand. Like, it's hard to keep your paperwork together.
Yeah.
But if you can keep your paperwork together and really go to another country and work on another TV show, not only are you exposing yourself to a completely different market of people who will be interested in you, you're also winding up on a show that I would say more people watch than NXT Level Up or, you know, however many people go to Ocala in the weekend for the Florida Loop. But I think when it comes to just visibility, you get more visibility on NXT UK, regardless of what country you're from.
Yeah, a Florida man lives in Ocala. Ocala's a Florida man factory.
I think something to take away from all this that I think is probably the most important and hasn't been brought up yet is I'm calling the police and having them wait outside Steve's apartment until he starts driving without a license.
Aha! I too am a rebel.
I want to stop crying before it starts.
Also, does this look? I just have to point out: does this look like an apartment?
Oh, the flex!
Sir, I live in a house.
Oh, ooh, okay.
That's the gif. Make the gif.
It's more like a bigger target for cops. Chris says, in your opinion, is NXT UK suffering from Walter move across to SmackDown? Jack, let me start with you.
Not at all. I don't think so at all. Walter, Gunther is great, by the way. I like him, but I think that NXT UK has so many great stars. I think they're just fine. I don't watch this show thinking to myself that it would be better without it'd be better with Gunther. I mean, I guess it would because he's great, but I don't think he was on TV enough and that often. So I don't think I really feel like I miss him, if that makes sense.
I'll take the same question. First off, Chris Mason does TikToks for ad-free shows. So shout out to Chris Mason.
Hey, Chris Mason.
.com.
There he is. He does an incredible job on TikTok, a platform I don't know enough about to do a formidable job.
I know less.
What I will say is, had Gunther left NXT UK as world champion, and then they had to have a tournament to just crown a new champion, and there's ways he could have left where he could have created a power vacuum, where that didn't actually happen. He had multiple matches with Ilya Dragunov, one of which he lost the NXT UK championship and gave a lot of that main event status to Ilya Dragunov in that loss. So once he left that, he's able to move on to SmackDown and give his status to SmackDown without taking any away from NXT UK. That said, I love Walter and wish he had stayed on this show in particular as long as possible. That said, he didn't. He didn't, and I don't think the show is much worse because of it.
Yeah, I'll say I'm similar with you. I feel like it was a transition, but it's something that needs to be done. We'll get to transitions because our next match was in the tag team ranks. Symbiosis against Ali Blake and Tate Mayfairs. I think the debut of Ali Blake, we've seen Tate Mayfairs once before. The match I had down in my notes, like, hey, why is Symbiosis at the bottom of the tag team ranks? But the bigger story there, Jack, is that Symbiosis has a whole new different management structure. Eddie Dennis, your boy, got his ass kicked, waxed, if you will. Care to defend your guy?
I don't think I need to. I think the obvious happened here. Andy Shepherd was saying it consistently on commentary that Primate and T-Bone are a bunch of moron bozos who don't know what's going on anyways. So of course they didn't see that they had a good thing going with Eddie Dennis. And of course, as soon as they get a win, they kick him out. They don't know what they're doing. They're flying by the seat of the pants. They were nowhere before Eddie Dennis, and they're going to be nowhere without Eddie Dennis. But here's the connection a lot of people aren't seeing, and that is that just this week, WWE Hall of Famer Edge was also kicked out of a group by a bunch of ingrates, and this is just another thing that Eddie Dennis has going for him that makes him just like every other Hall of Famer. And that's great.
Getting his butt kicked? Steve, help me out here.
So you might be right, Jack.
No! We're out of time, Steve.
Your tone leads me to feel that literally anything Eddie Dennis does is just winner. Winner,
welcome
winner, chicken dinner.
That's
Eddie Dennis, the Eddie Dennis could do no wrong show. So if you put two bears against the best tag team in the world, and then those bears win. They might be bears, but they also won.
Deep.
So, so what I'm saying is they didn't need Eddie Dennis, and if they're winning, they don't need anybody.
But that's the thing, is they weren't winning until Eddie Dennis showed up. Now, I'm not saying Eddie Dennis can't do wrong. I'm just saying he doesn't do wrong.
Ooh, yes. Well, that said, The question still stands then, even before the change of personnel. Symbiosis, for a while ago, maybe a month ago, were kind of in this tournament to be crowned number one contenders. And now, no disrespect to Tate Mayfield, to Ollie Blake, they had no record. So if you're Symbiosis, if you're as good as you say they are, Jack, why would Eddie Dennis book this match, get this match signed, get a team that's unproven?
To get a win, because he saw that Primate and T-Bone weren't living up to their potential. They weren't doing what needed to be done once the bell rang. So Eddie Dennis went out of his way, did the smart thing, and got them in a match that they had a chance to win. They won, and then suddenly they got too big for their britches. If we're gonna call them bears, it's like they ate the biggest bowl of porridge. But now they're on their own, and now we're gonna see them with nothing left but the little bowl.
Well done.
I'm sorry, but I have to point this out. Who is left to challenge Ashton Smith and Oliver Carter?
Who's left? You got Stars and Mastiff. You got possibly a returning Pretty Deadly. You still have the rematch if Dressage Mountain gets back together, because they still haven't figured out what they're going to do, because Trent Seven is going to talk to the universe next week. There are options out there. The question comes down to, who do you want to see in that title? I mean, even DeFamilia is the next one as well.
I mean, I think, Steve, just to kind of piggyback and jump on your point here, I think you say what might be obvious is, I think Eddie Dennis was lining these guys up for a title shot, but without Eddie Dennis's guidance, they stand no chance against Ready and Forward. Right, Flobo?
This is the logic. I'm closing in. I don't agree with Jack. This is terrible. Nope. They will not be Ready and Forward. So I guess you're right.
That's the gift.
I feel dirty. I really do.
I disagree. I think they could make it. I think they are number one contender. They are a number one contender team. Heading forward, because a lot of what you laid out are a lot of, oh, this person might come back, these people might get back together. They're an actual team that's on TV winning.
Well, DeFamilia, I would assume, would be the next number one contender. Like, they got as far as a tournament without actually winning it. And that's like the first defeat of the tag team. So they'll be the immediate challengers. But there are people lined up.
Well, that's the thing, is Eddie Dennis got them there. Now it's a matter of them trying to figure out what to do now that they're there. To Steve, again, to your point about Bears, sure, they won the match, but can a Bear sign a championship contract? I don't think so.
Yeah, terrible penmanship. Shout out to Ashton Smith, though, showing his kids and seeing his title. That was really cute. But yeah, in the interest of time, you have to go to the top of the card.
Those videos are fantastic. I do want to say, those like NXT UK does such good jobs with videos, especially simple ones, just showing their family. I think that how do you not love Ready and Forward after watching that video?
Oh, now you like Ready and Forward? Now you do? I'm just kidding.
Listen, just like in track and field, I'm always in the front runner.
You're always backpedaling? Okay. So, speaking of someone that had the best promo package, Amel, which, to her credit, looked like a whole different superstar. Super faster and way locked in against Eliza Alexander with Zaya Brooks out at ringside. Unfortunately, it didn't go Amel's way, which I know Jack is like, I can't believe it. Why are you saying it's an upset? It's not an upset. Eliza Alexander is so great. But Steve, let me ask you this. Going into this matchup, did the result surprise or shock you that Eliza Alexander got the win?
It only shocked me a little, because I follow NXT UK alongside WWE.com/superstars. So I had no idea who Eliza Alexander was.
That's fair. She's kind of new.
I know the other one was. And I know it's been said before, but Amelie, is that how we pronounce it?
Amel,
sorry. She's the first French superstar. She's really going with that. She's acting like Andre the Giant never existed.
First female.
Oh, they didn't. That wasn't on the graphic. The graphic was just first superstar. First French superstar. So they hold up.
You know, we only go back 10 years.
Yeah, okay, exactly.
But then Maurice isn't
the first champion was Chris Jericho. He beat the Rock Is Still Cold the same night.
The first champion is Finn Balor, I thought. He became the Universal Champion. That's when WWE started.
So, from my perspective, I didn't have much tracking on Eliza Alexander. So I was very, very shocked to see her get this victory, because I didn't know much about her, didn't know where she was coming from. I think last time I was on here, she had a backstage segment. That was about my extent of knowledge to her. So, yes, I was very shocked.
Chris Mason says, WWE Next Level Video Production. You can miss a month of TV, watch a pay-per-view promo, and boom, you're caught up. And I do think that's true wholesale, Chris. But with the work that NXT UK does in saving their rosters with rotations, I think it's something any other small promotion could take and take lots of notes from. Personally.
Yeah. Yeah, their video packages. And Amel, she had a video pack. And Steve, I know we had a little bit of fun on her being the French superstar, but she had a video package that came out a while back about her, like her journey from France. And it's like put together so beautifully. It's worth checking out. I think it's another one of those things. How do you not love her after watching it? And they also did one with Trent Seven trying to get like lose weight to get down to the 205.
Yeah, these are great.
And I thought those were great as well. They do really good with their video packages in UK.
Yeah, absolutely.
I would say the most shocking thing about this matchup, though, between Eliza and Amel here, the thing that I was watching this just kind of blown away, and I know, like, I can't believe I'm going to say this, and you guys, you might want to reject this thought as I say it, but I want you to let it sink in, and I want you to really think about this, but I think Xia Brookside may actually be as good of a manager as she is a wrestler. Did you see how she was able to manipulate this match and control this match and help lead the person she was working with to victory? I mean, move out of the way, Bobby the Brain. Move out of the way, Paul Heyman. Xia Brookside's coming through.
My God.
I have to deal with this every week. Move out of the way, Bobby Heenan. Xia
Brookside. It's just like, should be like, I think there are a couple people in between there that should also move out of the way, maybe.
Nope.
Perhaps. Nope. Straight up. Way.
Virgil, get out of the way.
Virgil.
I agree. I think.
No, I don't agree with him.
No, hear me out. I agree that Xia Brookside has been looking.
Disciple, get out of the way.
I think Xia Brookside has been looking for the perfect role for her in that show. And winning right up until losing to the champion, she's done that for years. That maybe she's been in the hunt so long that she actually understands how a match works, that maybe this is her calling. Also, I believe she got engaged today.
She did. Congratulations.
Yes, I did. I saw that, is what I was going to say.
Yeah, you did? Oh, wow. Did. Wow. Way to steal some thunder, Jack. Oh, me too. Me.
I created an engagement just to be better than Xia Brookside today.
Well, we got to move on in the interest of time. Top of the card, Mark Andrews of Subculture versus Kenny Williams. Zach, I'm going to start with you. Mark Andrews, to your credit or discredit, you can call him a menace to poor Kenny Williams. First question about him first. Can Subculture still exist without the other two? How long can Mark Andrews wave this flag for Subculture with no one in that group?
I think, if anything, that this really embodies what Subculture is, just a person all by themselves with no support around them.
Wow. Hey, Steve, where'd you go?
I'm here.
You become monochrome.
I'm a part of the Subculture. This is what it takes.
I go slow motion. Best monochrome stable ever. Sorry. NWO, get out the way.
Let me see. This is the best I can do on short notice when it comes to effects.
You've already raised the budget.
Have you been talking about Riddle with those effects? But look, Subculture is all about not being a part of the mainstream and not having a bunch of people rallying around you. It's about being something a little different, something a little niche. And he's as Subculture as you can get. He's gotten so niche, he's by himself.
Oh, wow. Advice for life. See, let me ask you this. He was facing Kenny Williams, very game Kenny Williams. Unfortunately, Kenny was on the short end of the stick due to Lucha Mask-induced paranoia. What do you make of this? Kenny Williams, scum of the earth, but just couldn't focus to get the win this week.
I mean, it's easy to say, oh, you couldn't focus, you couldn't win a wrestling match, you should be used to masked men showing up to distract you.
Yes.
I think realistically, no, but realistically, I think that that's not a thing you should expect of everyone. So that I think this whole idea of like, oh, you got distracted is the equivalent to like, we were having a legitimate sporting contest and someone interfered.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it's quite as bad as everyone's saying. I think he has the right to lose here. He was interfered with. He was distracted on. We can't expect him to be used to it.
And you're right, black and white, and, Steve. You're right.
And to your point, Steve. Yeah, he didn't. It wasn't like someone gets outside.
It was. Oh shit! Sorry.
It was. I mean, he got up on the ring apron. Like it was. It wasn't like he was just like, oh my god, we got a dance party going at Steve's place. A house party at Steve's
production
place.
Value. I love it.
But yeah, I think that look, Kenny Williams, if he had just been looking over his shoulder this whole match, we would have said, you know what? He got in his own head, his fault, his bad. But since Tiger Taran was on the ring apron, this is clearly something that I think the referee should have taken into account here.
The referees don't really care. It's like, as long as no one commits murder, you're fine. One, two, three. That's what makes NXT UK so great.
Well, especially the referees in NXT UK. We talked about this last time I was here. That's a union strong place. Those referees don't do shit. Aside from count the three. Yeah. The bell to bell, count the three. Everything else, I'm sorry.
I got tenure. I can't. I'm not going anywhere.
We have a tea break.
Yeah.
I think that's why they start British wrestling started in the rounds style. Is that you have that added in break every time that in between break. Rounds.
Take a break. Yeah, they needed to take a smoke break.
We have a tea break, thank you.
What is going on? This is off the rails. Just real quick before we move on to In Your House and NXT, Jack, let me ask you this. Mark Coffey's on the phone, presumably talking to Joe Coffey, who's still missing. You were saying for weeks that Mark Coffey could be the leader of the remnants, the ruins of Gallus. He's looking every bit about the part. What do you think?
I think that what Mark Coffey's going through right now is just like any tough breakup. You keep wondering what would happen if you got together. It's hard to understand that maybe things are over and it's time to move on. But once all is said and done, I think that Mark Coffey's going to trade up. I think he's going to move on to bigger and better things. He's always been the more level-headed Coffey. He's always been the more tactical Coffey. And I think he's been an incredible wrestler. I think that he's going to do great.
I'm going to call this episode Tactical Coffee.
Gotta move on. Bro code one at Broster's.
Wow. That's callback. 2020. What up? In Adventures of Time, we got to move on to NXT In Your House, which is, I guess, the premier event of 2.0 era. Steve, let me ask you this. You are a connoisseur of the wrestling arts and sciences. Thoughts about In Your House, one, this year's edition, and two, as a pay-per-view wholesale?
As a pay-per-view live event. We'll call it what we call it. You got to pay to watch it. Pay-per-view is not wrong. As a pay-per-view wholesale, like I think the In Your House brand is very strong and is going to continue to stay very strong. I think this exact pay-per-view didn't have some of the stronger matchups. I didn't believe I was shocking anyone when I said Toxic Attraction are really,
yourself.
Really strong.
Explain Mandy yourself.
Rose is really, really strong. Braun Baker's really, really strong. Like they were like the three linchpin matchups.
Legatos.
Were really
like Legatos.
They were really strong, and I don't want to say easy to predict, but easy to see. Genuinely, like you're not going to tell me that Joe Gacy is better than Braun Breaker.
Why not? I can argue that Joe Gacy did a lot of the hard work here. He had to be a formidable villain. He did most of the talking. He was the one that told most of the story in the ring. Because who wants to be dominated by a creepy guy?
Well, no one, but I gotta agree.
There you have it.
I agree with Steve in the sense that I think on paper in these matchups, there weren't a lot of what I like to say, the spicy matchups. There weren't a lot of like, ooh, this, we got two very evenly matched foes going against each other. But I think as far as a show, if you were to watch this show, I do think it was a fun show to watch. I think the matches were fun to watch, but I agree with Steve in the sense that Braun Breaker's unstoppable. No one's stopping that guy. So when you see that this match starts, Joe Gacy's already punching up. He's already the underdog here is the situation.
I disagree. Well, okay, actually, you're right. I'm just doing it for the show.
I'm trying really hard to find a dog-faced Kremlin underdog analogy there. Just assume I put one together that was really clever.
Speaking of puns, today's pun the calendar on June 9th is people tell me it's strange to idolize the Pillsbury Doughboy, but I think he's a great role model. Okay.
Well,
my favorite moment of the show was our boy Carmelo Hayes once again becoming the A champion because he is, I am, North American champion. I thought it was pretty dope. Jack, Steve, real quick, favorite moment of the card?
I enjoyed the opening contest, the Legado del Fantasma versus Tony D and the gang. They had a fun, crazy six-man tag matchup with just stuff happening everywhere. And I enjoy six-man tags in general, but I thought this was a fun one. I like both sides, so I found myself cheering and booing at the same time multiple times. But that one for me was probably my favorite match of the night.
Cheering both sides.
I actually think Carmelo Hayes winning was probably the better moment of the night. And I think maybe it's because when you're looking at me, you're looking for what you weren't expecting, and that's not what I was expecting.
Hot take. Is it because Carmelo's that good, or is it because Cameron Grimes has pretty much run his course here at NXT? And both could be true.
I don't think Cameron Grimes has run his course in NXT. I thought he was going to be North American champion for way longer. Ooh. So that's why it was a shock to me. I think he's a very formidable opponent, and sometimes people stay somewhere longer than they should because they keep winning. Mm-hmm. Case in point, Walter in NXT UK. I think if Ilya Dragunov hadn't beaten him, I think he would have stayed in NXT UK, because that becomes I'm the champion of the century, if you will.
Yeah,
I'm going to keep this place running as long as I need to. And that's what I was expecting from Cameron Grimes. That said, you're right. I think SmackDown is probably a call-in.
Okay. Chris Mason says something that was interesting. After a handful of below-par not takeover shows, of course, no one takeover is a dead brand, this one well exceeded my low expectations. Yikes. I have resigned myself to not have lofty expectations due to black and gold being a thing of the past. You know what? I'm kind of glad. And this is going to sound like a weird hot take, and I'm not pandering because my background's all the colors of the rainbow. Is that I like black and gold as much as the next person, but in 18 and 19, top half of 20, it was getting kind of tired. Like it felt like, what was next for wrestling? What we're going to get? We had the incubated independent show. That's great. I didn't know that we're going to move into having all these spooky gimmicks and supernatural stuff. But for a while, I was asked what was next. And then the change, I'll be the first one to admit, was hard for me to get around. Jack and I, we did episode Draped in Gold where I was frustrated. Like, there's 8 new debuts this week. But as it is right now, I'm with it. I'm on board. Give me more of that stuff.
I think if you learn to watch NXT 2.0 the right way, it becomes a really fun brand. If you're watching it looking for, like, understanding that they're trying things out, they're working things out, and you're not going to get the, to Flobo's point, the kind of indie style wrestling match where it's all super athletic for every match and that kind of thing. But you're going to see a guy like Joe Gacy who for a month or two acts one way, and then for another month or two acts a different way, because they're trying things out. And if you watch it with more of that, like, okay, they're experimenting here, let's see how this goes, instead of, I want the finished product right now, it's a lot of fun.
So, Jack, I think you mentioned how to watch NXT the right way, and all I thought was NXT 2x speed.
Well, that's
you watch NXT 2.0 at 2x speed.
That was clever.
Well, I can't go into the North American, or I can't go into the world title picture and our main event without going top story was the return of Apollo without his Nigerian accent. Can you believe it? Apollo Crews, with his last name, is back in NXT 2.0. Steve, let me start with you. Over the course of 2.0, we had some talent return. Dolph Ziggler, AJ Styles, Natalya. Where does Apollo Crews land? And is this a breath of fresh air for the former Nigerian prince?
I think this is a huge breath of fresh air for Apollo Crews, and I want him to never speak of whatever he did on the main roster. Also, I love when someone is in a main event feud in NXT, but I can find their t-shirt for $9.95 on WWEshop.com.
I bought a full price.
Oh, man. Probably not this. No, probably. I've seen you wear this one. Never mind. Yeah.
I have them all.
I think this is a huge breath of fresh air for him. And if he were to go for the NXT title, the title he has never won, I think I'm okay with it. I would love for him to just come down. Like, I think all of the ranks from Raw all the way down to NXT UK, or sorry, from Raw all the way down to NXT Level Up, we've ranked them earlier in the show. I think people need to go where there's the most opportunity. And if Apollo Crews can be on the top of the hour on the USA Network, but not on Raw, he should do that.
Ooh, good point.
I think that in every way, shape, and form, this is the perfect thing for everybody involved. I look at Apollo Crews and I see maybe the male equivalent of Mandy Rose, someone who came back to NXT and completely reinvented themselves, found themselves again, and comes across looking like a superstar. But if Apollo Crews gets a shot at that title, gets a shot at Bron Breakker, I think he is the perfect person to also have that match. It's almost like a reverse order of the way the Marvel Universe works, in the sense that Braun, he starts by seeing if he can beat the veteran, the person that's been a part of that brand forever, and he does. And then can he beat a main roster person in Dolph Ziggler, and he does. And then he goes on to now he faces someone who's going to play mental games and get personal with him, and he beats him. But now he finds himself in the final act, what would typically be Marvel's first act, and that is staring across from someone who is almost everything that Bron Breakker is. Can Apollo Crews match Bron Breakker's strength? He might be able to. Can he match his speed? He might be able to. In a lot of ways, Apollo Crews is someone who's just the same thing as Bron Breakker, but has been around the block a few more times. And that is going to be the greatest test for the young Bron Breakker so far. That is a match that prints money, and I want to see it.
I feel bad that I didn't give you the solo screen for that. Shout out to Nathan, man. Too easy, you hot nation. Deep cut.
Also, there. On your point, I want to point out that if you were to take Apollo Crews, the time Apollo Crews was in NXT, it was such a crowded main event scene. Whereas the time Bron Breakker's in NXT, it's not. Mm-hmm. And I like the idea that they get to come back. They get to come back and take a title that they should have taken or wish they could have taken when they were there first. And there's no shame in it. Charlotte Flair did it.
Question about Apollo, though. You saw him involved with a stare down with Bron Breakker, and he was also in that main event, teaming with Solo Sikoa, who was no longer solo, against Grayson Waller, Carmelo Hayes.
How dare you?
You love puns. One man, two divisions. Where do you put him?
How dare you? I'm so
what's wrong with puns, y'all?
It's okay when we do it. It's not okay when you
Whatever. This is pun hierarchy. This is messed up. Where would you put Apollo? North American title division against Bron Breakker, like it was teased. I mean, he can go anywhere.
I put him against Bron Breakker. Like, as I always say, the great poet Batista said, give me what I want.
I thought he was more of an American philosopher, but you're absolutely right. He is a poet as well. That's not what I want.
A wordsmith.
Yeah. Linguistic superiority. So what our main event. Solo Sikoa and Apollo Crews against Grayson Waller and Carmelo Hayes. These three men plus besides Apollo, are looking to be the next challengers for the North American title, which you could argue is the most hotly contested division in NXT. Steele, let me start with you. Carmelo Hayes, the A champion, now has a brand new rogues gallery of people that want to take him down. Thoughts about the main event and thoughts about the prospects of Mr. Hayes.
Excellent main event and excellent Mr. Hayes. I think both NXT and AEW have a problem with their second title. Okay. There's no formalized ranking for it.
You mean a new title or the All Atlantic? No, or
I'm talking about the North America. I'm talking about the NXT North American title and then the AEW TNT.
What, Jack? Title. I'm asking a question.
No, I'm just kidding. We don't have the time to break it. That's a whole other show.
How I'm with you that AEW has
take that like Pacific Ocean
1.5 belts, 1.5 belts per wrestler. I understand.
Imagine being the one person in AEW without a title. Brian Cage.
All right, sorry, Mr. Cage.
But he could be FTWW champion,
right?
But I do think they have a delineation problem of who is in line for the North American title and who is in line for the NXT heavyweight title. That, I don't know, because they work on a sign-in sheet basis, I don't know how they can fix it. I think maybe they shouldn't have fired William Regal. Speaking of AEW, he's off and gone. He's off and gone doing bigger and badder things, including the Gentleman Villain podcast, of which I produce.
Oh, of course.
I was always on this show. I was always saying how, in a lot of ways, William Regal held NXT together.
No. I wish I had a button here with a super cut of all the time. He's like, fire William Regal.
I never said that. I always said that William Regal held the show together, and he was the one that kept order on NXT. And ever since he's been gone, it's just been a madhouse. You're right. People just call in their shots whenever they want, signing into places. No one there to keep charge of things, and I think you see that. Couldn't even get one color painted on the walls.
Okay, that's a good one.
So that was really good. So could I challenge Carmelo Hayes?
Would you,
you could. I wouldn't want to.
It's not even the match. It's Trick Williams being able to talk your talk. whoop that trick to you. It'd be kind of weird, right?
Like, do I have to have a match on Level Up? I have to have some type of qualification to get to the sign-in sheet?
No, you just cut a promo saying, I got next. And then you come out saying, remember the time I said I have next? I got next. And then
okay. Well, but that didn't work out for Solo Sikoa.
I feel like if I challenged Carmelo Hayes, he'd be getting his hair cut and I'd hear him say mean things about me. And I'd come in to try to say mean things back, but I'd start crying because he said such mean things about me. And I wouldn't be able to get through my tears.
I wouldn't get signed. Do you have an appointment? No. I'll just go.
Do you have an appointment?
No, sorry.
Oh, do I need one? Yeah. Okay, sorry. I'll call.
I'll come back. Our fallout from In Your House is this. You don't have two warring families anymore. We have one. Legado del Fantasma is now part of the D'Angelo family, which I think the name needs some work. But yet, you have Santos Escobar working for Tony D'Angelo, with Tony D'Angelo at ringside in his match, Santos' match against Nathan Frazier. The match itself was pretty cool, but let me ask you this, Jack. What do you make about this new alliance of families?
I think that this is something that's going to be very interesting to watch. I said at the top, I love both these groups, and I think the fact that they've come together is going to be a very powerful alliance. I have a feeling once all is said and done, Santos Escobar is going to be one of the most beloved characters on NXT 2.0. I got a feeling that the crowd is going to understand just how good he is as he's fighting from underneath. But I think that this is really fun to watch unfold. I do want to say, because there was a little clash with Carmelo during this whole thing and with this family during the show. One, I think Carmelo Hayes, they always say the title doesn't make the man makes the title. You notice as soon as he has the title, suddenly that entire division is like a powder keg ready to go. Mm-hmm. And I just have to shout out the moment when Tony says, if you're not careful, blink and that title's gone. And Trick's like, I'm blinking. You still got your title.
Yeah. You'll need a hype man like Trick Williams. Shout out to Neeson Williams. The storyline is the A storyline. I'm inclined to agree. If not so much the tendril of the North American title stuff, the Tony D versus the Santos Escobar, which should be considered cheesy and over the top, totally fits with 2.0.
Can we? Yeah. I know we're not breaking down individual matches, but real quick, can we just talk about how fast-paced that Nathan Frazier Escobar match was today? That was in double speed. It felt like how fast they were moving.
Nathan Frazier is one of those imports from UK where I wonder where he's going to fit in, and not to compare him because it's still early yet. But like an A kid, I thought he would show up and then like disappear. But Nathan Frazier quickly found a way to make it work for them. And Santos Escobar was actually texting me this and like, what do you do with this guy? He's like, he's so good. He could be the face of the brand. If you have like an NXT poster tune in tonight, he will be on that poster. But he's also in his late 30s. Do you move him up to the main roster to keep him there? I mean, this guy is a talent and a half. And I thought I saw it more last night than in the recent weeks because I do feel that walking into the In Your House match, Legados weren't as hot as they once were. Yeah.
Cool.
I was more of like a statement looking for
anything. You handled that.
Everyone didn't agree, so it was kind of awkward.
Agree, and it's also rhetorical of like what is next for Nathan Frazier.
Oh, he's fine. He has new surroundings. I mean, he was messing around with Chase U for a couple weeks. He was on Level Up sometimes. Like, he can go wherever. He has that new car smell that puts him into anywhere you can slide him into because of his size and speed. I'm looking more at Santos. I know the long-term storyline is going to be with Tony D, but as you build up that being lovableness, he has to go through opponents. Who are they going to be is my question.
I think it's going to be Tony D in the gang.
Yeah.
Fair enough. All right. I see how it is. Speaking of going through tunnels and gauntlets, your boy, that's Jack's boy, Von Wagner, had a match against Josh Briggs, fired up Josh Briggs with Sophia Cromwell. She don't really know what's her deal, and Mr. Stone. Josh Briggs gets the win, which surprised me, only because Von Wagner was unstoppable. Steve Carville, let me ask you this. Von Wagner, man, like, what? How? What? Question mark? That's not a question. Von Wagner's match came end up in a loss. But I do feel like the powers that be have a little bit more of an upside for Mr. Wagner, but doesn't seem to be clicking quite yet. What do you make of him?
Short term, I think he's just got some kinks to work out. A lot of the tools are there for him to win matches. He's just not utilizing all of them. So I do think the matchmakers see a lot of potential in him and want to give him more opportunities to win matches. That said, I don't think we're going to see him on the USA Network next week.
Dang.
You got to win. You lose to Josh Briggs in 3 minutes, 4 seconds.
You do got to win, and I think he would have won this match if it wasn't for the fact that Briggs is just one of these guys that likes to bring people to hang out at ringside with him, that like to get involved. Wagner, on the other hand, likes to do things the right way, but Briggs is just one of these guys that likes to have friends on the outside that get involved, and they caused him to lose this match. It's unfair. Another time a referee should have got involved and gotten them out of ringside. I think William Regal would have stopped that.
Hey, Cowboy Bob Orton's a Hall of Famer. Why would you not bring the cast to the ring?
I'm just saying that Wagner does things the right way.
I just thought it was kind of a cool match because Josh Briggs was a fall guy for a long time, but got the shock win. But more importantly, got to move on to that women's breakout tournament. Tiffany Stratton, Roxanne Perez, and Jack Farmer has told me plenty of times that Tiffany Stratton is the future of the brand, but it was all Roxy. Roxanne Perez with the Pop Rocks, which I guess is a pun of a finisher, getting the win and the opportunity. Cora Jade comes out to celebrate, and it's kind of weird because you know how I feel about Cora Jade hanging around people who are winners. Steve Kaufman, the women's breakout tournament, first time ever, thoughts about the tournament, and what's next for Roxanne Perez?
I think the women's title is what's next for Roxanne Perez.
Fair enough.
I think, but actually winning the women's title.
There you go.
I think she's good enough. I think she's ready. I think Tiffany Stratton really should be looking internally, and she appears to be looking externally. And that's a problem.
Go on.
Well, we saw later in the program where she was like, I didn't realize we were cheating. If we were cheating, I could have won. This shouldn't have happened. I'm going to call my dad. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. I think one of the best ways to be a winner is actually to be an incredible loser. And she's coming off like a terrible loser right now.
Wow. Speaking of incredible losers, Jack, what do you think about the match?
I thought that this was really good stuff. I thought everything I said was right. The thing is, I said from the very beginning, at least halfway through, once she got involved, once she finally had her opportunity, that Tiffany Stratton was going to win the breakout tournament. And I was right. I say I was right because everyone was picking Roxanne Perez to win this thing. Everyone had her checking that win column. So now that she's won, great. But you know who really broke out? Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany Stratton is the one that got on everyone's radar. That's what the breakout tournament is all about, is getting noticed, getting recognized. Tiffany Stratton showed the world that she can get it done in the ring when she's not getting cheated. And by the way, I got to complain about something here. I don't like to complain. I like to only look at the positive side, but I got to wag my fingers because all I hear is on commentary, Vic Joseph talking about how Roxanne Perez is going to all the time, all the work, all the effort I put in for all these years, I'm finally going to get my chance. She's 20 years old. She just started. What do you mean all the time?
She took a bus 10 hours each way, man. A bus.
She's 20 years old. You can't talk about all the time you put in. You're not even old enough to drink yet.
Oh, wow. I didn't think you'd turn to Stephen A. Smith about it, Jack. You're just a baby. Oh, baby. Well, I mean, hey, look, man, Roxanne Perez has a bit of a nice following. Cora Jade's out there, and we have ourselves a 6-woman tag match next week. So we're really going to see her up close and personal to Mandy Rose once more. So I'm excited for that. I'm glad the first women's breakout tournament had a bit of a positive reaction on social. Hope they do it more. I think the men's tournament up with winners such as Carmelo Hayes and et al. I won't go into who won before he did. But the women's breakout tournament, I think I should come back next year, I think.
I absolutely think the breakout tournament should. I think that should be a staple of, because it's not like Money in the Bank or King of the Ring, where it became just a bunch of top guys looking for an opportunity and then using that as an opportunity. Like, I think the breakout tournament should stay something that is a tournament of relative unknowns getting the opportunity to actually break out. Whereas you have Money in the Bank matches where everyone has won Money in the Bank 3 times.
I agree completely.
Chris Mason says Stratton's really acclimating well to wrestling, almost like a sponge. Her being a natural athlete who's also a bodybuilder reminds me a bit of Bianca Belair and how quickly she took to wrestling. Maybe. I just don't quite see it yet, but I'm a grump who's an old man out of the demographic.
The only thing missing from that moonsault she did was actually connecting.
Yeah, that's kind of the most important part of a moonsault.
But it's a breakout tournament. She's got time.
Yeah.
She's got time.
If she didn't have so much hang time on it, she probably would have connected.
What a problem to have. I just jumped so high and so far, I would totally land.
Yeah, Roxanne Perez had 30 minutes to roll out of the way. She got Stratton got so high in the air.
Also, apparently, if Wade Barrett is malleable financially, maybe Tiffany Stratton should send some money his way, get some favorable coverage on NXT.
Well, I have a feeling he's for sale.
Sneaky suspicion. I may or may not have seen a Craigslist ad or two.
And for Tiffany Stratton, looks like they're going to reheat that Wendy Chu thing, which is great because according to Jack, Wendy Chu's been on a crying spree ever since he got her credit card. So thanks for that.
Yeah, she stole. Steve, tell me this. If you steal someone's credit card and then go on a spending spree with said credit card, you have broken the law. Am I correct in saying?
Allegedly.
Allegedly. I mean,
Wendy Chu took her credit card.
You haven't checked
a bunch of stuff.
You haven't. You clearly haven't opened your wallet since the forum last week.
The face is like, I haven't. I've used my thumbprint everywhere.
I will send you so many pictures of cool things I bought in the last 7 days.
Well, it must be cool because the bank didn't think it was fraud. They were like, that looks like something cool Jack would have bought.
True. You should probably call them and issue a chargeback, though.
It's one of the few times I got a fraud charge. It's actually a true story. I went to go buy my girlfriend at the time flowers. They're like, this can't be him. All right. Well, in the interest of time, we have a couple of quick hits around the horn about what's going on at NXT UK, or NXT 2.0. Let me know what you think. Steve, I'm going to start with you. Joe Gacy, cult leader, former number one contender, is saying he has a group called the Dyad, which just means two. Not a triad, but a dyad. That's okay, fine. Thoughts about their debut next week? Who do you think it might be?
I don't know who it might be quite yet. I think it might be someone we've never heard of or seen before. That said, I think he went from a cult to two people, and that is a demotion. True. What I'm hoping is that the Dyad is two people who wrestle. That's the team, and they're just going to put all their focus on being a tag team, but there's still absolutely a cult behind them. That would be wise. That would be smart. Similar, you know, at one point the Wyatt family had like half of wrestling in it.
Right. Cameramen,
projectionists, lighting, lighting sound, like sound effect people.
Referee union, yeah.
One of the people on this show is in the Wyatt family, but we won't tell which one.
Find out next week.
Y'all are going to tell them next? Y'all going to tell them about me next week?
Internet rumors are saying the rechristened JYV, but we don't know for sure. Jack, we had a match Pretty Deadly against Andre Chase, and Pretty Deadly looked like they were still on point to be champs once more. And even though Andre Chase tried, he failed ultimately, but the crowd seems more behind Chase Hugh than ever before. What do you make of this?
I make yet again, a referee didn't disqualify someone when they should have. That Thea Hale shows up and literally right in front of the ref hits one of Pretty Deadly, but they let the match go on. That should have been a DQ. Fortunately, the good guys still got the win. Pretty Deadly. They still came out with a victory, showing all those people in college working so hard to be smart that if you're pretty, you don't need to be smart.
I should clarify, the NXT stateside referees do not have a union.
Were you serious or is that a bit?
I'm serious. That the NXT UK referees are a part of a union. There's a broader pro wrestling referees union that is across the European Union.
That's not all right. I got two more. Alba Fire had a match against Tatum Paxley. Alba Fire is undefeated as Alba with the most forceful handshake after a match I've ever seen. Like it's pump kicked in the face by Lash Legend Steve Coffin. What do you make of Lash? What do you make of Alba Fire?
Alba Fire looks very familiar. That's all I'll say. And she looks like a killer, and I'm also, but so does Lash Legend. So I'm looking forward to the matchup.
Fair enough.
Rapid fire, let's go.
And lastly, because we have so much more to do this week, we won't get time to get to Giovanni Vici. Is the old Fabian Aichner still doing the high class living? Jack Farmer, they put you on the spot. Can Giovanni Vici find a spot in an already crowded NXT roster?
I think he'll do just fine. I thought as Fabian Aichner, he was an incredible wrestler. I think he had all the tools you're looking for. And I know a lot of people are probably frustrated at a name change and an update to the look. But as I look around, frankly, WWE's been knocking it out of the park with all their updates recently. So I think that if he's trying to rebrand himself, it's going to be a success like a lot of the other successes they've had.
So you think he'll stay with on his own, or would that be like a connection with D'Angelo? That's not the question I see a lot on Twitter. I think it's dumb to do that, but I'm just asking you.
No, I think he's on his own. I think if he was going to be connected, they would have connected him.
Oh, bonus question. Creed brothers are giving away title matches, apparently. He just NFA and Malik played. Roderick Strong's upset about it. Kaufman, how long is Diamond Mine going to stay together before it implodes or explodes?
I'll be generous. Explodes? I'll put the over-under at 4 weeks, and I will take the over.
I mean, what do we consider an explode? Because they're already at, like, Diamond Mine 3.0. Like, what do we consider a change here?
I feel like the match to have the Diamond Mine name a la DX99 and saying we're done with Diamond Mine.
Okay. I think I take the under.
Okay. Wow. It's a good over-under. I think 4 weeks is right about where they have the opportunity to either strengthen or fold.
I think on my notes, the name of Big Eye, if it's something I don't know, whatever here, but we did this week. But now it's time for a favorite part of the show. It's now time for the MVP of NXT. That's the one person that stuck out for you on NXT 2.0 or NXT UK. Jack, let me start with you. Who is your MVP this week?
This week, I think the person I have to call the MVP is Ivy Nile. I think that she really showed that I rarely ever pick someone who loses a match to be the MVP, but I think that to this week, she showed that she's on another level. She's not a prospect anymore in my mind. And she's not even a roster member in my mind. She's a champion contender after this week.
Ooh. I'll be real. She was mine too. However, to make things more interesting, I'm going to say
don't order the same dish. It's at the restaurant. Yeah, <it's> weird.
I'm going to say Roxanne Perez. I think there's nothing but upside for her right now. And with winning the breakout tournament, standing toe to toe with the women's champion, I think she's the MVP of this week. Heading in, like, there's so much potential. If we're judging potential, like Ivy Nile, we kind of know the three or four paths that are laid out in front of her. Roxanne Perez, the world is her literal oyster at this point.
Oh, yeah. For me, it has to be the guy in the crowd spinning that spinner belt all episode. It was dedication. No. Wade Barrett, 100 episodes on commentary. And everyone, when he first started, was kind of like, how is NXT going to sound without Mauro Ranallo? And I do feel like this one here has a cool direction. And I like Wade Barrett's insight. I think that it would probably be the most like cynical booth to put Wade and Nigel on the same desk. But I love what Wade has contributed to the NXT. He's my MVP this week for sure.
Did Wade pay you to say that?
No, oh. I'm easily bought. But as easily bought as Jack is. What
I am first, there's so many directions I would take that. But one great pick, I didn't know it was 100 episodes. Two, I can't believe he's been on for 100 episodes. That's crazy. And three, I didn't pick Apollo Crews because I thought you were picking Apollo Crews, Flobo.
He didn't really do much. He just says, I'm back.
He won the main event.
He wasn't the MVP of the week. He will be the MVP of everything going on. but he, as it is right now, he just talked to Braun. He was in a match, a tech match. I'm just... What? Why you're disappointed with me?
What happened to good old predictable Flobo?
Well, I know, because you know what happens? He actually won his match. If he had lost, I was like, even in defeat,
I would have said Apollo.
Oh man, that does it for me. We're at episode 93 of this show, Draped in Gold, and I'm still trying to figure out if you should do episode 100. Most likely not, but if you have an idea, let us know in the comments below, especially if you're listening to this out in Denmark. Thank you so much for the show. Steve Kaufman. Denmark. Is that Copenhagen? I don't know where Denmark. Okay.
Copenhagen.
Steve Kaufman, if someone want to connect with you online and maybe hit you up in DMs on how they can be verified, wink, wink, nudge, nudge, how to go about doing that?
They can find me on Twitter almost exclusively. I'm at Steve Kaufman. That is KAUFMANNIM. We'll say heavily involved in the pro wrestling YouTube digital production space.
What do you mean, let's say? You are. Let's just say.
I'm trying to be modest.
You basically said it already, too. That's it.
If you go to Steve Kaufman, I'm trying to be modest. Like, it seems it's too hard a flex to be like, I am the name in pro wrestling. Like, I'm the name in pro wrestling podcast.
Oh, yeah, production. Mister, you think this is the apartment? This is the house.
This is
you're the villain that's been unmasked and now trying to act like you haven't been a part of the whole episode.
If you go to stevekaufman.com, you'll find my link tree. It'll show you all the stuff I'm working on and will be working on. In the last 7 days, I've launched the Mick Foley podcast and the Gentleman Villain podcast. Next month, we're going to be launching Click This. It's a Kevin Nash podcast. And those are just the new ones. I'm heavily involved in the pro wrestling YouTube space.
I want all the Vinny Vegas content I can handle. Or Oz. That's the thing
I want. I don't think you're going to be kind of disappointed in this podcast. Well, it might be one episode.
Episode, talk about 100, Vegas. You're going to start digging for something. That's what's going to happen, though.
I love it.
I'm curious. He's never told the Magic Mike story.
Jack. Ooh. Jack Farmer. If someone wanted to follow you after following Steve at steve.com, how do you go about doing that?
Well, if you want to find me, the best thing to do is check me out listening to ad-free shows like Click This and the new Mick Foley podcast. Those sound amazing. But you can also find me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media, where I'm on shows like this one and Mac Mania and Wrestling Inc. And I just launched a Twitch channel, Real Jack Farmer, on Twitch as well, where I just chat about pro wrestling every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 10 a.m. Pacific time.
Hey, look what I found here, adfreecares.com. That's kind of random.
Yeah, t-shirt. Get them
I had to load it up here. I don't know why. Okay.
Buy some t-shirts. Money goes to St. Jude's.com or St. Jude's.
Oh, that's cool.
It's probably St. Jude's.com, but money goes to St. Jude's Hospital.
.org? I don't know.
If you buy one of those Jack Farmer shirts we talked about earlier, it goes to me.
Both are valid causes.
All about me. Flowboyboystrapedandgold.com. Back here every Thursday to break down NXT, NXT UK content. As Jack and Steve are out there doing things and being superheroes, I do all right for myself. In the meantime, you can follow me on Twitter at Flowboyboys. We'll be back 6 days and 23 hours from now. But until then, Jack Farmer, say the words.
Do your best and be yourself.